Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Morning. It's a beautiful day. Really glad to be alongside Matt Jones, C. Maverick. Well, at least another game we'll call you that, maybe. Matt, looking pretty today. How'd you pull it off? It's exactly what I thought. NBA Finals look like they're over today. After nobody's coming back from down 3-0, but at least the Mavericks made it a little bit interesting in the fourth quarter, cutting what was it, a 21-point deficit to 1 point. Couldn't quite get over the edge. Two stars play like stars. Boston one win away from another championship, and our friend C. Maverick has to be feeling a little bit bummed out about that. I'm more bummed out about it for his vantage point than from anything else. I'd like to see a finals that goes a little bit farther than just four games, but it looks like what we might be in tune for. I think maybe the only thing that could stop Boston would be themselves. Some things that got in the way in the fourth quarter, if that can happen again sometime in the next game on Monday, maybe we get a fifth game. Not really sure that's going to happen, though, Matt. I don't think we're going to see a fifth game, do you?
You get the Euros that start on Friday, and it's Germany and Scotland. So we've already shifted the focus. We got 3 hours. We can talk all you want about this series. Boston's the better team. It's not even close.
No, it doesn't really look like it's close, is it? Doesn't even look like it's close. I thought this would be a good series. I thought there'd be a little bit of back and forth, but it's been pretty obvious from the start who the better team is here. I don't know if it's a matter of better coached at all, but stars that are playing like stars. Even a game yesterday, like Kyrie Irving finds his jump shot. You got a tight game going into halftime. It's still not enough for them. Still not enough. He played like a star for most of the game yesterday. The one thing that's lacking is, I guess it's defense from the main star for the Mavericks. Luka fouling out. He's getting beaten over and over again. And I don't know. This hasn't been the best series for Luka defensively. I guess he still has still putting in his points, though. But see, Maverick, you feeling all right about this? I feel bad for you more than anything when it comes to it.
I mean, they're just a better overall team. I mean, that's all I can say. Good, congrats, Boston. That's
he's given up on it. Yep. It's pretty over. Much the way I would feel. That's the way I would feel going when your team goes down 3-0 to a team that's looked like a champion from the very start. So it's too bad. It's too bad. Let's see. That's where I figured we'd start today on NBA Finals Game 3. And you want to talk about the series, all there is. I don't know what else to bring up other than the idea that Boston is just that much better. Boston looks like an NBA champion. Dallas does not. Boston's not going to get a good series from the very start. I guess the best series they got was from the Indiana Pacers, and that's pretty much it.
The only series Boston lost was the series. I mean, the only games they've lost is just games they weren't focused. They're the best team in the NBA right now, and it's hands down. It's Boston. This is without even Porzingis, who's an all conference guy, all NBA. Like, he's that type of player. And those, I'm telling you, those four guards you got Drew Holiday, who's so crafty. They're high basketball IQ. That's the thing, Phil. To be a good defensive player, you have to be smart. That's just all there is to it. If you're a good basketball player and can play defense, that means you have anticipation. You understand what's going on. You have a high basketball IQ. You understand what they're trying to do.
Is there an effort aspect to it as well?
That's
Isn't
what
there an effort
well, 100%
aspect?
It's effort. But you got to know what to do. Sometimes Luka gets lost with his eyes. Sometimes he's looking over here. He's kind of he's not really focused. That's what I'm talking about. And I've never understood guys that can play offense so well and be so skilled and then give you shite on the defensive side. It's I've never understood it. Now Kyrie, he's a little bitty thing, so you understand it. But when your two best players on offense are your two liabilities on defense, it hurts you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the right way to put it. You got to play both sides of the floor. Luka doesn't play both sides of the floor. The call that's getting some of the controversy with Jaylen Brown trying to take him down the middle and running into him around the three-point line, Luka falling down, basically crying to the officials from there, and then isn't able to get back at all. And man, it looked like the officials got that call right, which would be a foul on Luka. But yeah, he's got a star, man. But do you see the ability to play defense from him? Do you see it from him at all, or is it a matter of
every now and then he'll get like a steal from behind or something and poke a ball loose, but. Like, he doesn't defend well. That's the only thing he does well is, like, he'll get that swipe still, you know? And that's not enough. You got to be able to defend, make people take tough shots, and he really doesn't do that.
Well, looks like we're going to four games to none. All right, and in Omaha today, the College World Series entrants start to filter in. Seeing all the photos coming in on Twitter of the flights that they took to come into town last night. Today is workout day, and this is the day where it's all optimism and it's all everybody's going to win a championship, and isn't it just great to be here today? There was something Tony Vitello had said in his, I guess you still call it a rant from Sunday, about how much fun it is to get to Omaha, but it really isn't if you go two and out. I mean, it's fun to be there. But the best day, if you go two and out, is day one when you're paraded through downtown and everybody's cheering for you and your fans are showing up and everybody is in the glows of what they hope to be a national championship the day before it all starts. And then the seriousness begins tomorrow. But still feeling all of that envy, looking at those photos and the bright sunshine and the way that they've cut the grass. Still want to call a TD Ameritrade at the Chuck and guess just have to put the TV on tomorrow. I think it's a 1 o'clock first pitch. So we'll be on the air while that's going on and watch Virginia and North Carolina and just see how much of it I can stomach in here. Thursday halftime today, we'll be talking with Brett Dolan, who's all the way out in Los Angeles at some Perfect Game events that he's calling on the MLB network. He was also part of a telecast yesterday on MLB Network, where he was the field reporter. So that's pretty interesting experience. I know it's something he's done before. Saw a photo with Brett and Muss on the field yesterday during batting practice. In fact, there were photos from all three of the Musselmans that were at least in attendance that do like to put their tweets out on social media. And it's kind of interesting. I felt like that's one reason why you would want to head back to the West Coast, so that you can still be putting a team together and go to a Dodger game if you so desire. So we'll talk with Brett all the way out in L.A. at about 1:15 and Bob Holt coming up in just a little bit from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. And your calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel hotline all throughout the show at 877-377-6963. Chris in Springdale asks, is Boston the most successful sports city in the United States? That's a good question. And I would think, at least in recent years, Boston would be up there. When you count the championships from the Patriots, there's six of them. You get your three World Series from the Red Sox, about to win a second NBA championship. And they even had the NHL champion. I forget the year that the Bruins won it, but it wasn't all that far back in the distance. So they've got four championships out of their four teams, at least within the last 15 years, 10 to 15 years. I'm trying to think of some other cities that would belong on the list.
LA may be somewhere in there, but
You know, LA doesn't have a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, the Rams won one.
Well, they did. That's right. So there'd be one from the Rams. The Lakers have a 2020 title.
Dodgers
have won the same year. There's no NHL championship, but they still have me. They've got a lot of teams. I would say Boston's probably right there. Right there ahead of anyone else. Yeah. Houston, nope. Dallas, nope. Miami, nope. I think you're right. I think it would be Boston. And I always said, like, the Red Sox fans, people that grow up Red Sox fans mostly are also Celtics fans. And if you had the problems of not winning a world championship for the 94 years that they didn't, well, you had all your Boston Celtics championships, but I guess you don't really look at it that way. All right. Quick break on halftime. Bob Holt will join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline right after this.
This is Halftime.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USA Fireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USA Fireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Should start with Bob.
It's time to talk with the unique individual.
You said you and Diva are OGs, old guys.
Brad, you spoke so positively recently. I mean, did you expect this to happen?
He's a man of mystery.
Why do you always talk about Arkansas? But go ahead.
Well, why do you always talk about Kentucky?
Hey, it's Bob again. I think I'm unmuted now. I figured it out.
Man, you win the lottery 3 times, get to go to Starkville.
A man whose incisive questions and rapier wit.
Hey, John, did I add a two-parter if that's okay?
What did you mean? I'm sorry. I'm not that good.
Man, we got to get the Packers straightened out. Listen to the Jets. That ain't in Lambeau. That ain't good.
That placed him on the Mount Rushmore of Arkansas sports writers.
What do you think about this?
Sure, Bob. The future in that, yeah.
Here he is, the one and only Bob Holt.
Hey guys.
Morning, Bob. Always appreciate you hopping on halftime here with us today. What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Well, beautiful day here in Fayetteville, sunny, and I'm not sure the temperature, but you can tell it's summer. But getting ready to go up to John McDowell Field here in a little while, do some track interviews, looking ahead to the Olympic trials and the Olympics.
Well, that sounds cool, man, because I mean, so All of the women that won the 400, the famous 400 sweep 1 through 4, will they be available today for you?
Actually, not talking to them unless I run into them. They're not down on the docket, but yeah, you're going to see them in either Eugene and possibly Paris. You know, Nikisha Price, who's from Jamaica, she's probably the queen of Jamaican sprinting right now. A title Veronica Campbell, former Razorback great, used to hold, kind of an unofficial title, I guess, not officially like the queen of Jamaica, but track and field is very big in Jamaica, and sprinters are their biggest. If people remember Usain Bolt, they're like national heroes, and so she'll be running the Olympics for Jamaica, I'm sure, and then Kaylin Brown, a young freshman, come on like gangbusters. She's going to go to the trials. I think have a shot to make it. Rosie Effing, unfortunately, Britton Wilson, a former Razorback NCAA champion, she posted on social media I guess it was Tuesday night. She's got a lingering injury and will not be able to compete at the trials. And then thus obviously won't be in Paris. But yeah, there's a lot of former Razorbacks you're going to see in Paris competing for the U.S. and Jamaica and, you know, various countries.
25 to 30 of them is the number that you had sent me earlier today. I mean, that I don't know how to put this in a different light. And I know, we don't talk much track on this show or I think any other show across the state of Arkansas, just because, I mean, it's more team sport oriented and not quite as individual. And we might not know what we're talking about in these cases very much. But it feels like with possibly 25 to 30 Razorback athletes involved in the Paris Olympics, that that's worth celebrating just the number alone, and might be something that's, I don't know, just a little bit underappreciated, even by me.
Well, yeah, I mean, Arkansas, I usually write this before the World Championships or in Olympic years, that Arkansas, if you took, you know, you hear the term Razorback Nation, right? You hear that in college athletics, you know, Wildcat Nation or Volunteer Nation or whatever nation. And really, if you took University of Arkansas, former, current athletes, and then we're also talking about athletes who train here, they could be a country unto themselves. They will have many more. Now, they're not going to have more athletes, you know, than the U.S. or Germany or Brazil or whatever, probably. But there will be a lot of countries that wish they could put together the kind of team of former Razorbacks. For instance, Ryan Krauser, he's a two-time gold medalist in the shot put. Now, he went to Texas. I know Arkansas fans don't like Texas, but he's trained here in Fayetteville now for a few years, and he obviously likes this area, and he's going to be a gold medal favorite. You've got Tara Davis Woodall, who's married to Hunter Woodall, a former Arkansas sprinter. She went to Texas and Georgia, but she's made this her home now with Hunter. She won the world championships in the long jump indoors. She's going to be a favorite probably to medal in Paris. Obviously, she's got to make the team first. And it's very competitive. People remember Aiden Owens Delarme, you know, who grew up in your native Pennsylvania, but his mother's Puerto Rican, so he has dual citizenship. He'll be at the Olympics in the decathlon in Puerto Rico and have a shot to medal. And that, I'm just, you know, Sandy Morris, who vaulted here at Arkansas. She transferred here from North Carolina. She's going to be going, trying to make her third Olympics. She's won a silver medal at the 2016 Olympics, multiple gold medalists at the World Championships, indoors and out. She's going to try to make her third Olympic team. So we could take an hour and not name everybody probably. Mm-hmm. I know you don't want to do that.
Well, I mean, it's just that, again, that's a big number, 25 to 30. And it's reflective upon the... And maybe there are other SEC programs or programs across the country that potentially have that many people up for their various home country Olympic squads. But I would be surprised if there are. And, you know, you're reminded after the baseball season comes to an end, track goes on and wins more national championships. The women's sweep, indoor and outdoor. And I know Coach Bucknam's team didn't necessarily perform as well in the outdoor as they would want it to, but they still win the overall kind of the award for the top track program in the country for men with the John McDonald Award. We're just reminded, I mean, we want to talk about what school specializes in what. Arkansas has been and continues to be a track school.
Oh, yeah, it's a track powerhouse. You know, Chris Johnson, his first year as head coach, and he'd been very instrumental in the track program success as an assistant coach. But, yeah, the women win indoors and outdoor titles. Can't do any better than that. And then what Chris did, and it was a pretty seamless transition from Lance Harder to Chris Johnson, and that historic 400, top four spots. Not only had never been done in the 400, never been done in any event at the NC meet, indoors or outdoors, where anybody had taken the top four spots. And then they set the collegiate record by quite a margin in the 4x4 to end the meet, that they clinched it. And so, last year at the World Championships, Rosie Effing is from the Dallas area. She won a gold medal in the mixed relay, which is two men and two women. I don't think they do that in the Olympics. Maybe they should. And Nikisha Price, Amber Anning, who runs for Great Britain, she, they both won medals. So this was setting up, really, going back to last term. Jaden Hibbert, who won two NCAA titles at Arkansas as a freshman, and understandably turned pro, very lucrative offer. He's still here in Fayetteville. He turned 20 in January. He's going to be the favorite to win the triple jump at the Olympics, I believe. He's the world leader by a huge margin. I think he would have won the gold medal last year, world championships, but he unfortunately hurt his hamstring on his very first jump in the final. But here's a 20-year-old kid that may be jumping for the next 12 years, and he's already at the top of the world, literally in the triple jump.
Sounds like you're going to be busy during the Olympics, Bob. From afar, I know you're not headed to Paris, yeah, but you'll be busy.
I won't be going to Paris, but yeah, we'll be monitoring it for sure, and it'll be on NBC and I'm sure all kinds of platforms.
Well, looking over at this point of the summer, you know, we're reflective on what just happened throughout the athletic calendar and looking ahead a little bit, you know, starting to look at the football roster and what it could look like, and we have a sense of what what the men's basketball team will look like than the women's, and that's coming around as well. Baseball's got a ton to try to figure out really in the next month or month and a half before the draft gets going. And so looking back at this last athletic calendar, it was a step back in a lot of cases. Football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball, just kind of at least a little bit of a step back in some cases, or even a bigger step back in terms of, I think, men's basketball. But you got momentum with Cal. It wasn't the best 2023-2024, and there's room for improvement and probably programs that can improve too.
No, for sure. I mean, football going 4-8. Nobody, I don't think, expected that kind of season. Didn't expect them to win the SEC, but, you know, I thought they'd go to a bowl game, but it was a rough year. You know, you had your older veterans like KJ Jefferson, didn't have the season you expected, and Rocket Sanders was hurt a lot and didn't have anywhere near, you know, preseason All-American, and he struggled quite a bit. Now, you know, we don't even need to go on the offensive line probably, but you know, Sam Pittman has revamped this roster. He's brought in Bobby Petrino. There obviously were offensive coordinator issues, firing Dan Enos during the season. That's, you don't see that very often, but I think it was justified. Not saying Dan's not a good coach, it just wasn't working. And Bobby Petrino, I don't think they could have hired a better offensive coordinator. And they've got some returning guys, you know, having Luke Haas healthy again, a tight end is going to be huge for them. They really brought, I think, three new starters on the offensive line. Maybe it's actually four. No, it's three. But they moved guys around. And so we'll see what happens. It's a very challenging schedule. Again, no Alabama, but really no breaks. Either got to go to Oklahoma State early. And then basketball, that's, you know, men's basketball, that's probably the big exciting story. You know, John Calipari coming in from Kentucky, and looks like they've got a very good roster, added some experienced players, some from Kentucky, some from other places. Nice recruiting class, freshman class as you expect, but it's not like they're going to be playing seven or eight freshmen. They think they've got three. And then you had Trevin Brazil back and kind of a surprise, but if he's healthy, we know he's going to be an impact player. And then I know Mike Neighbors is really revamped his whole roster. I think he'll have five new starters, added some JUCO players, went the international route. We'll see how they do. And baseball, for, you know, great record and a great regular season, disappointment in the postseason. And I know that doesn't sit well with fans, doesn't sit well with Dave Van Horn and his staff and the players. So really looking for a bounce back in a lot of the main sports.
Yeah, I think we're looking for it. I think that in some cases, I think it's legitimate to expect it as well. But a lot of it also goes to postseason success more than anything. You got to get there first. That's understood. But, you know, I just looking at the bat and ball sports, let's separate those from the others for a time being, because football didn't make the postseason. Men's basketball didn't. Women's basketball did, but it was one and out in the NIT on the road against Tulsa. For the bat and ball sports, there's going to be, I would expect, if there's a couple of really good months to start the season, there's always going to be skepticism. Now, I'd say this. I didn't feel that skepticism amongst people 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but I certainly do now. The last 2 years, people that have had that skepticism early in the season, pointing to this is what's going to do them in, this or that, or they won't go far in the postseason, they've proven to be right. And I think there might be more skeptical fans just because of the last 2 years being knocked out at home. So it's just, Man, it's always, we have all this optimism in February, but we're always proven to just wait until June, and that's a long time to wait.
Well, yeah, I think baseball is becoming more like basketball, where it's really defined by postseason success. I mean, 2 years ago, Arkansas won, or last year, however you want to still count, 2024 is this season. I guess we got the College World Series. But in 2023, Arkansas, with a lot of injuries, overcame that and shared the SEC title with Florida. I think winning the SEC title should still mean something. I mean, I see people get upset that Arkansas hadn't won an SEC basketball title since 94, I guess. Bizzle obviously have had a lot of postseason success, certainly with Eric Musselman going to two Elite Eights and going back to the championship game in 95 under Nolan Richardson and various things. But, yeah, I think baseball, you know, it's great to be ranked number one, and it's great to win the West again and all these things. It's great all these honors you're seeing Hagan Smith pick up, and we know he's going to be a high draft pick. But when you don't get to Omaha, I mean, that for a program of Arkansas stature, and Dave Van Horn's, you know, created that bar for himself. You know, Norm DeBrien, we know he's the godfather, right? He's the guy that built the program and coached Dave and brought him back and all that. But, you know, Dave really took the program to another level, to where the stadium was expanded, and you've got, you know, this incredible indoor facility and the Hunt Center and all that, and, you know, the alley skyboxes, and baseball is generating a lot of revenue. And, you know, tickets aren't cheap, and I'm not saying they should be, but when people are putting out that kind of money, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, they want some bang for their buck. And so, you know, Dave Van Horn is kind of, you know, Nolan Richardson used to say, when you create the monster, you've got to feed it. And he talked about Eddie Sutton creating a monster, and then Nolan Richardson probably built a bigger monster. And so when you have a lot of success, it's difficult to sustain it. And, you know, Dave Van Horn's done a pretty good job of that. But obviously the last 2 years, as you said, losing at home in regionals. But it's not like Arkansas is the only program that's happened to. I think Oklahoma State's lost three straight regionals at home, including losing to Arkansas in 2022. So, it's obviously disappointing when you lose at home. It may be a surprise, but I think there were maybe out of 16 regional hosts, maybe six didn't advance. So it happens, and it's happened to Arkansas the last 2 years, and that's very disappointing. And I'm sure they're going to do everything they can to have a great season and get another home regional, and this time advance out of it.
Hey, Bob, we'll leave it there. I always appreciate you hopping on. Thank you, and have a great rest of your Thursday.
Okay, you guys take care.
Bob Holt, Democrat Gazette, with us every Thursday here on Halftime. Got a good text in from Wes on the McClarty-Daniel hotline. He has figured out the problem for Arkansas in the home regionals. It's the color purple. TCU and then K-State. Yep. At least in a regional, it was red that did Arkansas into the super regional in 2021. Meanwhile, we have our McClarty-Daniel hotline open for you right now. It's 877-377-6963. We'll be back in just a moment.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Welcome back in a halftime, 1 minute after 1 o'clock in the afternoon on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. I'm Phil Elson. Matt Jones and Kristen Johnston alongside. We'll be talking with Brett Dolan, who is out in Los Angeles in about 15 minutes. He has, I think he's got like three or four games he's calling today for Perfect Game, all showcase sort of stuff. These are kids that will be in Division I college baseball, at least a good chunk of them, in the next couple of years. And I was looking through our McClarty-Daniel hotline here from earlier today, and there's a really cool photo from, it's an unnamed texter who is watching. He's in Atlanta. Well, I guess it's not Atlanta. It's Cobb County, where the Braves play now. That is right outside Atlanta. And is working in an office building that overlooks Truist Park. Where you could, man, it would be kind of cool if you could watch the game from here, but it looks like one of the video boards blocks your view of the entire infield. So it'd be a weird way to watch a game, though it's free. Why not give it a try? I've seen...
So my mother works downtown Pittsburgh, Matt. She works at she's a CPA. Now, they moved their offices from one building to another, and I haven't been in the newer building now, so I don't know if she's got the view or not. I remember it's like in one aspect of that building, there was just a tiny little sliver of PNC Park's field that you could see. So if the Pirates are playing a day game and you're at work, you might only be able to see plays at first base. But it'd be enough to just at least watch a little bit. And with this guy, what he's watching would be basically you can see if somebody swings the bat. You can see right field and center field, a little bit of left field, but that's it.
You remember it was called pitcher in pitcher on those screens. Probably before Christian's time. So it'd be like watching the game just you got the big game on the TV, but in your pitcher in pitcher over there that's the thumbnail size, then you really don't see what's going on.
No, you won't see enough, but it's free, so you can listen to the game and I've seen photos of there, you know how at Dodger Stadium is kind of facing the San Gabriel Mountains. Well, a little bit farther past the parking lots, there was a spot where people would park and just watch the game from all the way out there because they could. They could just sit out there and watch. And it was even, this would have been from the 70s or the early 80s. Somebody brought their television with them. I mean, the old tube TV, think of how heavy that is, carrying it out of the house, putting it in the car, driving it to the San Gabriel Mountains, having a generator, putting it on, and hoping that you get the signal so you can watch the Dodger game that you have gone to watch from about a half a mile away. And I know there are people that would watch Razorback football games from the famous Notch, which is now, they said they kept the famous Notch with the renovation of the stadium, but I don't really think you can see all that much of the game from there, if maybe just a little tiny little piece of it. But that's because you want to keep it to the paying customers. I guess that's what they're looking to do. 877-377-6963. Calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel hotline at Chiefs camp or mini camp. Oh, this is nice to see. According to Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid wants them to push the ball down the field more often, wants more big pass plays. And hey, they signed Marquise Brown, drafted Xavier Worthy from Texas. Mahomes can throw it deep. They won the Super Bowl without having to do it too often last year. And now they're going to look for more big plays. Just, not sitting on your laurels. They got great speed now, Matt. And I know wide receivers was an issue for them during the regular season last year. I don't know if it'll be an issue for them this season either. And then there's Travis Kelce talking about that he's going to keep playing until the wheels fall off. I guess you just make your own decision as to when the wheels are ready to fall off. And Chris Jones isn't thinking about retiring either. So you think the Chiefs have a chance to, well, obviously they have a chance, but if they're going to utilize the big play, maybe that's right in their wheelhouse too.
Yeah. 87 days away from football. That's a Travis Kelce right there. Patrick Mahomes can do anything he wants to out there on the field. That's for sure. They really never replaced Tyreek Hill. I think that's what Xavier Worthy's coming in to do and take the top off the coverage. And, I don't know. Who's going to be, if you know that your defense is good enough and you got a healthy Patrick Mahomes and a couple weapons, it's like Scottie Scheffler right now. I'm not betting against him. Like what Chuck say, I wouldn't put a nickel against him. I wouldn't put a nickel against the Chiefs.
What are these OTAs about? These aren't OTAs. These are mandatory mini camps. What is this about? This is leading up into the summer. How long are these? They're mandatory, so they obviously must be really important. What goes on?
Well, I don't know how much has changed. Whenever I was in Jacksonville, it's 4 days a week. You got 5 days to get four of them in, and two of them will be you're going to lift 4 days, and two of them will be on the field type of days where you're working with the quarterbacks. You're just going over plays, seeing things, running routes, just staying sharp. I mean, you're just kind of. It's like a summer school, so to speak. You're just trying to stay sharp and being with the play. Another time to go over the playbook, and you just getting used to each other. We had,
You know, Fred Taylor was, man, he was so good. He was a guy, but you get it. When I see these guys that sit out, I mean, every once in a while a guy can sit out, but really 98% of your guys need to be there. And for the most part, they are. I mean, the guys show up, you want to work, and you're just getting up there and you're getting a little film in. You're kind of just staying sharp. It's
the thing with Rodgers not going there. It's like what I'm hearing you say is something that I hear you say about how important it is for, even when we talk about Arkansas this next year and learning Petrino's offense, is just to make it instinctual so that you know exactly what you need to do on every play with every variable that can happen. It doesn't make any sense to me for a quarterback to miss these camps then, because then it says to the teammates, like, I got other places that are more important to me than this team, than this game. Either that, or it's like, I don't need to know all of these things. We don't need to develop much together.
It's all situational. Like LaDainian Tomlinson, you understood it. Brett Favre, you understand it, especially if they you're able to talk about it, and you got other quarterbacks that can do the thing. But yeah, that's part of it. You're just going over little situation, and in the most basic way you can put it is it's a zone beater and a man beater. Every time there's a play called, you can do one of the other things. And so you just start making it instinctual where you're reacting and you're not thinking. And it's just, you got to go over it.
I just wonder if there's any sort of overreaction to Rodgers not being at that camp when he's the only quarterback, the only quarterback that is not there. But if he's, you know, already carved out his bust in Canton, and views himself a little bit differently, then yeah, it would make sense. Chris says zero chance of a Chiefs three-peat. So who do you think's going to win then, Chris? And JT says, yeah, KC's improved their team. Dallas has not. And I think in JT's mind, the best way that they can get it better is just by dropping Dak. It's usually what I see from him there. Allstate, apparently, is the sponsor that the Big 12 wants to sign up. So they've already kind of let it out there, which I think that means that's going to happen. And then the insurance company is already getting the marketing that goes along with it just by their name being associated with, hey, the Big 12 is thinking about selling their naming rights to this group. I just don't expect that the major leagues, you know, the SEC and the ACs and the Big 10 would feel the need to go down that route. Because if it's conferences that are trying to make up some sort of a difference between their revenue and the other conference's revenue, it's the ACC and the Big 12 that need to find a way to catch up. And I still know that there are ACC schools that are trying to put some sort of a group together that's going to eventually dissolve their grant of rights, do away with the old ACC, and reform it the way that they want to. The Big 12 is the one league that I think can potentially stay in its current iteration. But obviously, in their mind, it's going to take some money to get there, and money from a major insurance company that probably already advertised on their games to begin with. Brett Dolan coming up in just a moment.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Appreciate Brett Dolan's time always on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, but especially today because it's a busy Thursday for him. Not an average Thursday, I guess. Brett, what you got going on in L.A.?
Well, last night we had the Dodgers-Rangers game, and then it was a late trip down to Orange County and an early wake up at about 3 a.m. for some remote baseball broadcast that I've just finished, and now I need to get to the airport so I can get two flights and get back and do it again tomorrow from Arkansas. So just your normal Thursday.
Remote baseball broadcast from a hotel room?
You know, so when I've been doing a week-long Perfect Game showcase, and the studio is in California, even though the event is in Atlanta. So now that I'm in California, I might as well just come here and do it rather than my hotel. So that's what I did. So, yeah, a lot of traveling, a lot of baseball. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Saw a pretty good game last night, didn't you? 3-2, what? Rangers win it on a homer by Corey Sager. Was that his first game back in Los Angeles as a Texas Ranger?
Yeah, it was. It was the All-Star game, but the first regular season game, hits a three-run homer, and then Páez runs through a stop sign and gets thrown out of the plate on a close play to end the game 3-2. You know, great night. So Ohtani hit a homer in the first, and, you know, it was a fun game. I always enjoy getting back to Dodger Stadium when I can or kind of working the occasional game. So, you know, that was just a lot of fun, a lot going on, a lot of, you know, running into certain people and whatnot and trying to put forth a good effort. I don't do a lot of dugout reporting for the MLB Network, but when they do, I enjoy it. So, yeah, good night.
Dodger Stadium's awesome. And I've been there for two games and then got a chance to take part in like an on-field batting practice where I was just shagging for people. I just couldn't get it out of my head. It was like, I can't believe I'm on the field at Dodger Stadium. That Dodger Stadium is, and I have to, you got to be cautious how you put this sometimes. Dodger Stadium's a perfect baseball park, correct or no?
Well, I think so, right? There's no quirks or some of the uniqueness that they've tried to create with Camden Yards and whatnot. And it's not in the middle of a downtown area. It's set up in a giant ravine and parking lot and whatnot. But the amazing thing is, I think it's probably the third oldest stadium in baseball after Fenway and Wrigley. And at times when you're driving up, it still feels like you're kind of going back into 1960 or, you know, 1970. It's still got that same feel to it that, you know, Koufax and Drysdale played here and all the other Dodger greats. So to me, that's what makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, takes advantage of the view behind the outfield fence and just doesn't feel, what would the word be? It would be manufactured. You know, it's like, so that's how I felt about the last Rangers park. I love where the Rangers play now. And I always thought the ballpark at Arlington or whatever they called it over the course of their years, now it's the first Globe Life Field. There's a second one right next to it. It always felt like it was forced. You know, you took a piece of Yankee Stadium with the facade. You took a piece of Tiger Stadium with the overhang. You took a piece of that park, but you never felt that way about Dodger Stadium. It is its own place. And I saw that you bumped into the Musselmans on the field during batting practice as well. Did you know that they would be there, or would you just kind of like look out of the corner of your eye and you guys look at each other like, hey, I know you?
No, the funny part is, as I drove up to Dodger Stadium, I got there way early. I thought, you know what? What are the odds that I would run into Mus tonight? And so I'm standing on the field during Dodgers batting practice, and I'm probably 10 feet from the cage, and I'm watching Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, and I turn to my left, and 4 feet away from me is Mus and Caleb Klein, and I just watched Mus interact. He was talking to Bruce Bochy. Then he was talking to Dave Roberts and having great conversations, and then he turns around and sees me because I'm just behind him, and we had a great conversation. We took a quick picture, and I just watched Mus go. I took a picture of him together with Roberts and Bochy that I sent to him afterwards, and, you know, I will say this, Phil, it feels like he's in a good spot, and you know, he's back in California. He's got a big smile on his face, and I said to him, "Are you actually coaching, or are you just playing beach volleyball? Because I'm watching your Instagram." And you know, I think he admitted that he was grinding pretty hard last year, and I'm sure when things aren't going well and you're losing games, you work harder, and then when your team loses, you work harder, and it just has a compounding effect. And you know, after I posted the picture last night, there were a few people that had some snarky comments back at me, and I said, you know, listen. He did a lot for this program. He took this to some levels they hadn't been in a while. He made this attractive for John Calipari to come here, which would have been crazy a couple of years ago. He wants to be in California. He's happy. Calipari's here with great players coming in that should be nationally competitive. Seems like a win-win for everybody, and I hope it is.
I would have thought he'd just be happy because he's at a baseball park. And I know, you know, I think basketball's his first love, but I also know he's got a passion for baseball from, you know, a fan's perspective, from somebody that, you know, grew up rooting for the Padres. And I just remember that the first that time I'd met him, and I think this was the day he was introduced as the coach, was he came over to throw out a first pitch at Baum and then came on the broadcast with me and Bubba. And I mean, the guy really does have a true passion for baseball. So when I saw you, when I saw the photo that you put out, and I know Mariah and Danielle also, you know, tweeted or Instagrammed photos out because that's what you do. I just thought, man, that's a happy guy. And it just hit me. It's like, well, you know, the reasons that he left, you know, from Arkansas. And I think a game at Dodger Stadium, well, it'd be too simplistic to say that's a reason why, but it's a bit of a microcosm why.
Well, it is. And I mean, you know, Southern California people or California people like the beach and they like the coast. And you know, he said that when they first got there, they actually had kind of a house that they rented for the coaches and the staff. And it was five or six people in there and it was a block from the beach and it probably felt like a frat house, but they would do their work from the house rather than commuting in and building towards trying to put together a team at USC, but kind of enjoying life. And, you know, California is expensive and it's not easy to get around, but there's some beauty to it too. And he likes it and you know, good for him. And, I think you'll see him at Dodger games and Angel games and Lakers, and I think he's already been to a Sparks game, and it's kind of what he does. But I can't fault him for that because it's what I do. I mean, I'm a professional games attender. I mean, you know, but watching him interact with Bochy and Dave Roberts was fun to me because those guys knew him. They genuinely wanted to talk to him, and there was a little bit of a rapport. So, you know, and sometimes basketball people want to talk to baseball people and vice versa and just kind of check in with people that have similar roles but in different sports. So it was kind of fun to watch.
Bochy must have known him when he was a teenager. I'm just thinking, because I remember, you know, I've got a pennant. The first World Series game I went to, Brett, was game 4, 1984, Tiger Stadium, Padres,
wow.
Tigers. Yeah, I was 7 years old. I remember Alan Trammell hitting 2 home runs. I remember...
For Gibson?
Gibson was on the team. He didn't hit it. He might have hit one home run in that game. But Bochy was on that Padres team. He was the backup catcher. And I just imagine, there's got to be something there that the two of them know each other from all the way back then. Of course, Bochy's been around forever, too. Hey, speaking of the big leagues here, do you realize there's like 8 good major league teams right now and a whole bunch of mediocrity? But it just hits me. It's like, so you look at the teams that are atop the leagues right now, Yankees, Orioles, Guardians, Mariners are pretty much the good teams in the American League. You could throw the Royals in there too. Phillies, Dodgers, Brewers are pretty much the good teams in the National League. No guarantee any of these teams are going to be a world champion because of how random the Major League playoffs are now. And it feels like it's a whole different structure to college baseball and Major League baseball. But I even saw somebody, Brett, who was this? Travis Sawchuk. You know who he is. Covers for The Score. He tried to make a case of changing baseball playoffs to throwing in an MLB regional weekend. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't even like that we do this in college baseball. Please don't try this in the big leagues.
No, but I feel like they might tinker a little more with the schedule because, you know, I sat into Dave Roberts' office yesterday with Vasgersian, Verducci, and myself, just the four of us. What a great opportunity, right? And the first thing he says is, man, that was fun last weekend. I know Major League Baseball would love to have the Yankees and Dodgers, and I want to have it selfishly. And I said, yes, they do. Problem is, they don't get it oftentimes. You know, last year was the 5 seed and the 6 seed. Major League Baseball doesn't want another Texas-Arizona World Series. They would lose their lunch if that happened again. And I don't know what the philosophy is, how you get the best teams to get to the World Series. They haven't figured it out, and trying to figure out baseball doesn't work. And I don't know what the answer is, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't keep tinkering just a bit to see if they can find the right format that gives opportunities to more teams but doesn't penalize the best teams from a layoff standpoint. I don't know what it is, but we'll keep trying, I think.
What do you think on the College World Series starting tomorrow? You got a couple teams you think may meet in the finals. I'll tell you who I think, and then you.
Please
take
do
it.
Because I'm curious what you have to say.
Well, Tennessee's going to make it through the ACC bracket. They're the one SEC team there. I think North Carolina could surprise them. So I would put it at those two teams out of bracket one, but I think Tennessee's at the top. And in bracket two, even though Braden Montgomery is out with this leg injury. And I hate it for him because he is incredibly fun to watch. They have like 4 other All-Americans, first-team All-Americans for A&M. They got a pitching staff that's probably second to none in both brackets. So I'm looking at Tennessee versus Texas A&M. What do you think?
I wouldn't argue with that. I think you're right as far as Tennessee coming out of their region and their bracket. A little more, and I'm with you, Montgomery's injury is a tough one. But, you know, Schlossnagel's just been there a lot, and he's had good teams. They haven't gotten over the hump when he was at TCU, and he kind of has the ability to stick around for a period of time with his teams, and there's just so much talent on that club. I wouldn't bet against them. I think if Montgomery was healthy, Phil, I'd probably pick them to probably win it all.
Do we make too much about the size of the field in Omaha? Because I really do think, look, if you hit the ball hard, you're going to be fine. I think Tennessee, the fact that they've hit like 170-some home runs, maybe out of there, maybe out of 173 home runs, maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 of them don't get out at the College World Series ballpark, but then that leaves them with 140 more. Do we make too much of the size of the stadium? I mean, that's a part of it, but I think it's overblown sometimes.
It might be. I felt like the first several years when the balls and the bats were a little bit jacked up, it was almost unfair. It was a hard game to watch because you couldn't homer in that ballpark very often. You know, the wind, whatever the case may be, the big dimensions, the way the ballpark's situated. It feels like it's certainly played a little better maybe in recent years. I don't know if the numbers would back that up. And I think in part because we no longer have all the dead equipment. And some coaches would probably tell you they feel like it's back to the juiced aspect of the bats with some of the exit velocities we've seen and some of the distances home runs are traveling. So I think it's getting fair. I wish it wasn't quite as big. I still like to see the college home runs, and I think that makes for great television and great theater, but it's better. It has to be better than it was because those first few years it was almost unfair coming off the Rosenblatt Gorilla Ball era.
Hey, Brett, safe travels and good luck with the rest of the Perfect Game broadcasts. Appreciate you coming on with us out on West Coast time today. Thank you.
Sounds good. Enjoy the College World Series.
I'll try. Won't be easy, but I will definitely give it a shot.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.